We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to another episode of In the Know. After a busy week of free agency events, Mason and I have finally gotten a chance to sit down and discuss all that has happened. You know, tomorrow is Independence Day for those of you who are in the United States, and this week kicks off Summer League in Vegas. So there's a lot going on. Mason, what are you doing for the 4th?
Heading up to Michigan with my now fiance, which I'm still getting used to saying, but
wow, breaking news.
But yeah, just heading up to Michigan with to spend some time with her family. It's about a 4-hour drive from Chicago, but haven't checked the weather. It's supposed to be kind of a disaster in Chicago. I'm hoping that Michigan's a little bit better. Should be good though. What are you up to? I know where you're going eventually, but what about the 4th?
I'm just chilling on the 4th, man. Just probably refreshing my Twitter, waiting for this Kawhi stuff to happen like everybody else, making sure he doesn't end up on the Lakers. Other than that, you know, the 4th is, I don't know. It's never been that much of a big deal to me. It might be blasphemous to some listeners, but just kind of chill on the 4th. Maybe I'll go watch some fireworks on the Riverwalk.
Nice. But that's – it's funny. I think it was just before we started recording, I saw a tweet from Darius Soriano, who's a Lakers blogger writer, and he was talking about how like all of us are just refreshing our Twitter and constantly to see when the news breaks, but we all have notifications set up such that we're going to find out seconds afterwards anyway. It's just hilarious that yet we still find the need to just impulsively keep refreshing to make sure we see it the very second that it happens.
It's that dopamine hit, man. We've become addicted to social media. But no, I think we have a lot to discuss on our plate, and I feel like we should kick it off by recapping free agency events. And I guess we could start by the little friendly wager that we had / the poll that I put out, which: will the Pelicans have a deal agreed to by the start of free agency? The answer was yes. They had a deal agreed to by the start of free agency, which was J.J. Redick, but technically they had a deal agreed to before the start of free agency, which is Niccolò Melli, an Italian player who played in EuroLeague and actually played with Darius Miller at Borussia Bromberg in Germany.
Well, well done. I'll take the L on that one. Yeah, we got our Nikola Mirotić replacement.
Knock off Nico.
Yeah, right.
It kind of has a ring to it. Knock off Nico.
Let's hey, if we get 80 to 90% of Nico for $4 million over 2 years or $4 million a year for this year and next year, I'm gonna call that a win.
Which, speaking of Nico, he shocked the whole NBA world by going to Barcelona and forgoing a $50 million deal with the Utah Jazz. I mean, I understand. I would much rather live in Barcelona than to play in Utah for 41 games a year. I feel like Barcelona's just a tad bit cooler. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would say so. Never been. Want to. And I do we ever find out for sure? There was like conflicting reports about what he was pulling in Barcelona in terms of salary and length, but I don't know if we ever figure out exactly what that deal was.
Yeah, I'm not sure we have a good number on that. It's possible that he's making bank, but I think more than likely the decision was not about money for him. I think it was just about going to a cool place where he can raise his family.
Well.
Good for Nico. But we got Niccolò Melli. And I think when we first heard, when Woj was the first person to tweet it, I bet you none of Pelican's Twitter knew who he was. Well, I don't want to say none. There were a few people in my mentions. They're like, oh, he's this guy and blah, 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 which was cool. But, you know, if you were pretending like you knew who he was and had an opinion on him immediately, I'm immediately discarding your opinion, because I guarantee you probably have not watched much of this player. I have not watched much of this player. Supposedly he's a shooter. He's 6'9", can do things on the basketball court. We don't really know what those things are yet. but he was signed for, the reported deal was 2 years, $8 million. That falls under the room exception and is actually, it's a hair under what the room exception is worth. And essentially the Pelicans have enough space left in that room exception to sign a player for a rookie minimum contract or slightly above the rookie minimum contract. So interesting cap management by the Pelicans there. I really have no opinion on this deal other than interesting cap management.
Yeah. I mean, I got some, and I was trying to find it as we were talking, scrolling through my replies. When I first found out about that signing, there were a couple of guys, not Pelicans people, but a couple of people around the NBA who were saying that one person knew who he was and said he apparently has been a couple of teams have already tried to get him to come over stateside, and he was waiting for the right opportunity. And so I think this is a guy who's, it's not just like a, it felt kind of random when the Pelicans pulled Darius Miller back out of Europe. I think we may have heard that maybe one or two teams asked about him, but this feels like a situation where he was already tried to, a team or two already definitely tried to bring Melli over. And this was a spot that I guess he thought was the best fit for him. And so, and then there were some advanced metrics I saw where, of course they're based out of the league he was playing in, which is not quite the NBA, but promising stuff, obviously going to reserve judgment until we see him on the floor. But you know, I, like I've been saying consistently throughout the offseason, I'm going to trust David Griffin until we have, or, and Trajan Langdon until I'm given a reason not to.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if he can hit the open three and Griff some free throws, I'm all about it.
Yep.
That's all I ask him to do. Moving on, we got another shooter. And this was announced right as the free agency bell rung. The Pelicans signed J.J. Redick to a 2 years, $26 million deal or 27?
26 and a half.
26 and a half. Split the difference. 2 year, $26.5 million deal, which I think surprised a lot of people, because I'm not sure anyone really had J.J. Redick on their radar. I think people had mentioned him. Oh, yeah, he'd be a good fit, a good target. But I don't know if anyone was like, hey, J.J. Redick is the guy that we should go after, you know? Yep. And I think people were kind of surprised to see him leave Philly that quickly. But all in all, the reviews of that signing were extremely positive throughout Pel's media and Pel's Twitter. And for good reason, because J.J. is an excellent locker room guy. He's an excellent shooter, one of the best off-ball players in the league, even at his age. And, hey, we're adding to the Duke contingent.
Yeah, it's and I like it because it's the length of the contract. I think one of the biggest fears that most Pelicans, you know, most of the Pelicans Twitter or most Pelicans fans were worried about is signing someone to a longer term deal, maybe that doesn't fit the timeline, quote unquote. And but this is a 2-year deal for a guy who it makes sense to sign to a 2-year deal. He's already in his mid 30s, but he gives the Pelicans a lot of what they need offensively as a guy who can, you know, they don't have a ton of floor space right now. And not only can he provide that, and he's a guy you have to always be paying attention to, but you mentioned the off ball movement, and it's a guy who you're going to have to chase. Hopefully that persists. I mean, I feel like that's maybe one of the things that can drop off most quickly once you really start to hit the other side of the aging curve as far as stamina goes. But I also don't think he's going to be playing major minutes. You know, we talk in maybe 20, 25 a night, and I think for those minutes he can be the same type of player as we've seen in years past, and it really it makes a lot of sense and fits well with the team.
I don't know, bro. You said he's going to be starting, so that sounds like major minutes to me.
25 minutes still. yeah, we'll see about that one.
We'll save that debate for another podcast.
Let's do it.
There's plenty of more weeks to come. But no, yeah, they got J.J. Redick, and it seems like he really wanted this opportunity to mentor another high profile prospect in Zion Williamson. If you follow Scott Kushner of The Advocate, he had an opportunity to catch up with someone who's familiar with J.J.'s thinking. And I think you're right. It's a testament to what this organization is building. And I feel like we're a broken record at this point. Every time we discuss a hiring or a signing, we're like, oh man, it's another testament to this organization. But it kind of is. It's weird. You know, I don't think a player like this would have signed for 2 years at that price here in the past. I think that's a 4-year deal that's waiting to happen. Cause I think the whole four year deal thing was interesting because I know for a fact the Pelicans wanted no part of any 4-year deals. And then you had the whole Al Horford situation in which he and his agent were, you know, really keen on this 4-year, $112 million deal from a mystery team. And no one really knew who that mystery team was and ended up being Philly. The deal almost fell apart. It may not have been Philly because Philly did offer a 5-year maximum contract to Jimmy Butler, who turned it down. Horford was very close to being shit out of luck. And from what I gathered, the Pelicans did have talks with him, and they just didn't want to include a fourth year for good reason. So good on Horford's agent for getting them that partially guaranteed fourth year.
Better than another NBA center his experience with his agent.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so Boogie fired his agent. About time.
What a disaster.
Didn't you could just retweet all the quotes that came out of that whole saga. Boogie was like, I'm grown. Or his manager going, this is chess, not checkers, or whatever he's with. It's okay.
Yeah.
Good for you, Boogie.
Old takes exposed, gonna grab that at some point. It's a question of when.
good for you. So yeah, no, the Pelicans made a move with J.J. Redick. And then it was kind of quiet. People didn't really know what they're doing. Various teams were, you know, scooping up free agents left and right. And I don't think I've ever seen free agency move this quickly. I'm really glad that it started at 5 Central for us. So we had the bulk of the evening to go over the signings instead of at midnight or 11. And you'd be up to like 2-3 a.m. refreshing and figuring out where everyone's going. That would have been a nightmare, especially with all the movement this year.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, all that was going on. There's some big moves. We can talk about some of them, but the Utah Jazz ended up stealing Bojan Bogdanovic from from Indiana. And that cleared the way for the Pelicans to scoop up Derek Favors from them, because Utah Jazz needed space to make the signing complete. And they could either waive Derek Favors and allow him to hit the waiver wire, become a free agent if no one claims him. And the Pelicans did have a good position to claim him, but it seems like there was interest for Derek Favors. And there was actually interest on the trade market for Derek Favors. So the Pelicans kind of jumped in the fray, the fold, and offered 2 second-round picks, both of those which they acquired from the Warriors. So they, when they traded the 39th pick, they got the 2 future Warrior picks. They sent them over to the Utah Jazz and acquired Derek freaking Favors. Mason, what do you think about Derek freaking Favors?
Derek freaking Favors is a great, a really great pickup. I think he's undervalued right now because of the there's a little bit of butting heads there with Rudy Gobert. I mean, I think, you know, before Gobert really broke out, Favors was playing 32 minutes a night. He started playing a little bit less. I can't remember who, maybe it was you, or I can't remember who shared the stats. Maybe it was Michael. Somebody showed the fact that, I don't know if it was just last season or last few years, it's basically he has the same net rating with and without Favors, which I think is with or without Gobert, which I think is a pretty good sign. And anyway, I mean, he's 28. So he's, you know, right in the middle of his prime. He's going to be on essentially a 1-year expiring contract of $16.9 million, which the Pelicans can that keeps them flexible. And I think what they have the potential to do now, because they have his bird rights, is if they still want to keep that flexibility for 2 years from now, they can maybe do something like what they were we talked about the Pelicans doing with Julius Randle this year, and doing a 1-year balloon contract if they want to keep Favors but still want to keep the flexibility. That's something that he might consider. So I think it was not to mention how well you think he fits with Zion. Obviously, it doesn't really help the floor spacing issue, but I think in most other facets of the game, I think the way he fits in the front court with Zion makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't. At this point, I'm all about the Pelicans fully leaning into this athletic defensive identity that they're building. I know that they have a ton of shooters on the bench now, and we can talk about some of the other moves that they made in a moment. But with Favors, like you said, he's an excellent defender, excellent rebounder, excellent offensive rebounder, which I definitely want the Pelicans exploiting. Just a pro's pro in terms of he's willing to come off the bench if needed. He's willing to not close games if needed. He's fine not getting a bunch of shots. And when he made his Instagram farewell post, which Anthony Davis still has not done yet, he was talking about how excited he was to come to New Orleans and help the young core grow to the potential that they can be. And which I thought was really
jumped in too.
What's that?
I feel like his teammates jumped in too to talk about how great of a dude he was and how maybe underappreciated he was.
Yeah, so everyone out of Utah has nothing but great things to say for him.
Yep.
I want to take this moment to plug Ben Dowsett and Michael Pelisse's, because Michael Pelisse had a podcast with Ben Dowsett, who covers the Utah Jazz, and had him on talking about Derek Favors. So if you have a chance to listen, make sure you do so, because I feel like it's another hybrid crossover of the Bourbon Street Shots family and the Blue Wire family. So yeah. Definitely want to shout out our own. But, you know, Ben talks about how great of a presence as a human Derek Favors was, and that goes hand in hand with what David Griffin's been talking about, is let's go after amazing humans first, and if they can play, that's great. And Favors, oh boy, can he play. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about the defense that he brings, and obviously everything else that he brings off the court. It's going to be interesting, and the cap hit is minimal. It's like 17 $0.9 million a year just for 1 year. Like you said, brings in a ton of flexibility and, you know, allows the Pelicans to really just shore up their front court. Good. I rate that move as an A.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, if the cost of getting him and keeping it from going, him from going to waivers is 2 second-round picks, one of which is, you know, being Golden State's 2021 second, which, you know, Klay Thompson's gonna be back then. Steph is still Steph. they'll get whatever they get for D'Angelo Russell in the trade. And I mean, that pick's going to be late second anyway. And so that's, I mean, I think that's more than more than fair for a guy like Derek Favors and bringing in his bird rights too. So, I mean, it's kind of a steal if you think about it. Everyone's so concerned about hoarding cap space, either to like, even something that I was saying, or we were saying about keeping it for teams to dump salary and then pick up assets along the way. I mean, I think we just kind of stole a very good player for the last year of his very fair contract and then get his bird rights to move on from there. So I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, he's very much in his prime right now. And honestly, he's never played on a team that runs. And I think running is going to suit his style of play because he is athletic. He is a really good finisher. He puts a lot of pressure on the defense at the rim as a rim runner. And it's going to be exciting for him to grow in this system. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I guess we can gush about Favors for the eternity of this podcast, but I want to move on to the next move. I guess before we move on to the next move, you mentioned D'Angelo Russell. How wild is that? Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
So Durant and Kyrie signed with Brooklyn, which is wild in and of itself. Great for Brooklyn. It's quite a come up. I'm not convinced they're going to be a great team next year.
Yep.
I don't know if Kyrie immediately makes them that much better with Durant being out for the year. And then DeAndre Jordan, great. I mean, I'm glad that they're taking pay cuts for their friend, but he's not better than Jared Allen. So I don't know. I don't really know what he's doing there. But, I mean, they'll probably be a playoff team and you know, good for the Nets. But the Nets agreed to a sign and trade to send D'Angelo Russell to the Warriors on a 4-year maximum contract deal, which is wild because everything was lining up for Russell to be on the Wolves. He was in Minnesota. He was at their practice facility and had, you know, Karl Anthony Towns on Instagram posted a picture. It was a loading logo. I mean, come on. The Wolves were supposedly confident that they could move all the salary that they needed to move to sign Russell. Obviously, they couldn't. And now the Warriors of all teams landed another all-star, which you could put an asterisk next to that all-star. But still, they landed another young talent, which they seemingly are trying to – they are able to pull out of a hat these days. I mean, it was wild to me.
At a cost. And I think – I mean, obviously, the main thing we care about is next season – but I mean, I'm not just talking about Iguodala. I'm talking about the two picks. They basically had to give up two first round picks to make it happen. And so, one I think to Brooklyn in the China sign in trade, and one to where they dump Iguodala, Memphis. Yeah, and so on. So I mean, there's a cost for the Warriors here, and it could come back to hurt them down the road. But obviously, they're concerned about the here and now. And yeah, it's another All Star, and I'm sure you're about to get to what was rumored after that with Stein basically saying they're going to trade him. It's not a doubt in his mind.
I mean, I think that makes complete sense. You have him as a holdover until Klay gets healthy, or not even as a holdover. You trade him at the first. Honestly, this makes Minnesota's job of acquiring him a lot easier. It sucks that, you know, Covington's probably going to end up on the Warriors and they get another 3-and-D wing that excellently fits their system. But they are 100% going to move him and get assets out of it. So those two picks they move, they might come at a cost, but they're going to be able to recoup a lot of that value.
Yeah. I mean, if it's Covington, right? I mean, there's
– what? I mean, I at this point, like, they're in control here. So
yeah.
If you're Minnesota, like, what do you – Golden State's not going to take Gorgie Dang and Jeff Teague for him.
No, I know, but maybe, like, Okogie or maybe another – younger player along with, I mean, because Teague would probably help him this year, but yeah, I don't know. Cause I was wrong on the Miami Heat stuff too. Like I didn't think that the Heat would have to give up Josh Richardson in a sign and trade for Jimmy Butler. I thought they could make it work without having to give up probably their, I mean, he's probably their best asset. Unless you think, it's either Winslow, Bam or Richardson. And I feel like Richardson's the best thing they got, and I think that was a home run.
I don't
for,
know. It may be a situation where we overrate an asset because they've been trying. They tried to move Richardson for Butler earlier in the year, when he was still in Minnesota. So who knows?
Yeah, I just feel like the dynamics are a little bit different with when you get to the time for a sign-in trade.
But I think this year has proven, especially in the new CBA where you can now do aggregation in sign-in trades, that there is a lot of value to be had, especially with teams that are just in cap hell, which Miami was, Golden State was.
Yep.
And I think Golden State, now that they have him and he's just a regular player on that team, you have to act like, all right, if I want to acquire D'Angelo Russell, I have to give up the requisite assets for trading for an all-star. That's what it is. And so Minnesota's going to have to give up the requisite assets. It might cost both of Okogie and Covington, which is going to suck because the Warriors are going to load up. But that's the cost of business. I think it was a smart move by the Warriors.
Given what everything that you just said, should the Pelicans have held on to AD all year?
What?
Talking about sign-in trades.
No.
I mean, granted, given what we know now and the return, I agree. But I feel like there's at least the consideration to say, let's stick it out for the year, and then if we have to sign and trade, and we sign and trade.
No. No consideration at all. None. I'm not even going to entertain that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So I had a question, since we were talking about free agency league-wide. Who had the worst free agency? Or worst? Who's had the worst summer so far? Which team?
That's tough to say. I mean, it's easy to pick on teams like New York, where, I mean, they ended up with Elfrid Payton, Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, and God knows what else. The Suns haven't had a great free agency. They overpaid the crap out of Ricky Rubio, and now they gave up. I mean, you're not giving up Josh Jackson because he's not really an asset, but the things that you're giving up to move him just so you can have the right to overpay Kelly Oubre is interesting. Charlotte had a really bad offseason because they lost Kemba and they replaced him with $19 million a year worth of Terry Rozier.
Yep. Okay. Those are the same three teams I was thinking of. Actually, the Knicks didn't pop out of my head. I was just thinking about, because I feel like the Knicks didn't make a bad move. They just didn't even get the opportunity to
make good moves, though. They're overpaying all, like, so they paid Taj Gibson, Bobby Portis, and Julius Randle, who all play the same position.
Hey, stealth tanking.
Yeah, but it's an obscene amount of money. I don't get it. I'm not going to pretend like I understand the Knicks, but hey, let's tank, baby.
Yeah. And so, that's just, so like Charlotte and Phoenix were the two teams that popped into my head. I get the whole.
I think you could add the Lakers to the list if they strike out on Kawhi.
I mean, I think, that's definitely fair. I mean,
which is weird because you're like, how can they have a bad offseason when they landed AD? It's like, well, if your roster is full of minimum contracts and, you know, basically the leftovers of the NBA, that's, oh boy, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
They'll probably be fine. They'll probably end up like absorbing Goran Dragic or something, and they'll be fine. They'll be a 50-ish win team if they stay healthy enough.
I still can't believe Charlotte balked at Kemba at the Supermax or something close to Supermax to sign Terry Rozier to $20 million a year. Like, that's I get doing the former, getting rid of the former, like, if you're going to fully press the reset button, but man, doing that and then going grab Terry Rozier for that much money just is baffling to me.
Let's go, Michael Jordan.
Let's talk about sleep. Listen to these studies from Harvard and Johns Hopkins. Chronic sleep deprivation has been shown to lead to depression, diabetes, obesity, and cardiovascular disease. We need 8 hours of sleep. One of sleep's biggest problems, temperature. Tough to get good sleep if you're too hot or cold. I want to tell you about the Pod by 8 Sleep. The Pod by 8 Sleep is a high-tech bed designed specifically to help you achieve optimal sleep fitness. It was developed by leading sleep researchers after tracking 43 million hours of sleep. It combines dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking to enhance your rest and recovery. It learns your sleep habits and adjusts the temperature automatically. That means if you like the bed cool, your partner likes the bed warm, now you can have both at the same time in a crazy comfortable bed. Sleep longer and deeper so you wake up refreshed and ready to take on the world. To celebrate Independence Day, get a free gravity cooling blanket plus free shipping with your Pod purchase, a $300 value for free. Offer ends Monday, July 8th. Visit 8sleep.com/bluewire. That's 8sleep.com/bluewire. EIGHT sleep patreon.com/bluewire.
All right. Moving on to the most recent move the Pelicans made, which was this morning. It was announced that the Pelicans are bringing back Darius Miller at a 2-year, $14 million deal, or $14.5 million deal, whatever it is, 14.25, mm-hmm. whatever that number is, 14-something, which drew a lot of interesting reactions because you're paying $7 million a year for Darius Miller. Second year is not guaranteed. So it's basically an expiring. It should be viewed as an expiring in that sense. But, $7 million a year for Darius Miller.
I mean, whatever. He's not going to finish the year on the Pelicans, so.
You confident about that?
Yeah, pretty confident. Like, the Pelicans, based on the moves they made in free agency, they had no other avenue to add salary other than a guy like Miller, or I guess Ian Clark too, early bird rights guys. Like, that was it. And
yeah, you're not paying Ian Clark.
Yeah, exactly. And so at least Darius Miller, to your point this morning, is a guy who is a wing size player who is a good 3-point shooter. And so there is value there on the floor. It's a clear overpay, but it's a 1-year deal, and it's salary you can aggregate in December or later if you have a trade you want to make. I mean, that's it to me. And
that's
they're not
exactly what it is. And you know what my first reaction was?
What?
Bradley Beal is back on the menu, boys.
I don't even know why I asked you. I knew where that was going instantly.
Come on. Who else do we need salary for?
Yeah, and it's fine. Well, I mean, what? And they're not even close to the tax line. So this is like my comment this morning was that it's I'll ask you. Do you think this is a move that the Tom Benson ownership Pelicans would have agreed to?
What do you mean? I mean,
they just gave a guy way more than his market value just as salary fodder.
Omer Asik, how much money?
Yeah, but they actually thought he was going to contribute.
How much money?
Wait, who's the last guy you said?
Solomon Hill.
Those are guys they both projected out to be major contributors.
Alexia Jinksa, how many years of money?
These are all different types of players than Darius Miller right now.
Why are any of those players that I named in the year that they had previously, except for Asik, but even still, what he got in his market, why are any of those guys less of overpays than Darius Miller, who played 82 games the year before, a good chunk of games the last year, has been the most consistent and reliable 3-point threat on the team, and is their only other small forward size player behind Brandon Ingram?
Darius Miller's minutes oscillated like crazy last season. There were times where he didn't touch the floor. I mean, this is not a guy who's consistent, who's going to be a consistent minute getter. The guys you mentioned, like Solomon Hill and Omer Asik, like those are guys who they said they looked at and said, these are players who are going to start and make major contributions on this team. Ajinsa less
so. They wanted to happen, but you could look at the years before and be like, this is a silly move. And a lot of people said that at the time of the signing.
But Darius Miller, they're not looking at him and saying, this is going to be a guy who we think plays major minutes. This team is deeper than
I think you're wrong.
Really?
I think Miller's going to be a rotation player this year. Like I said, who is behind him? You're going to talk about Josh Hart. I don't think he's proven yet. Melly, who they just signed, because Miller can play the four as well, isn't proven yet. Nikhil Alexander-Walker isn't proven yet. All those players have to beat out Miller for that spot.
I think you're going to see how it happened last year happen again this year. His minutes are going to oscillate significantly. I think there are players out there for the minimum who would do pretty much exactly what Darius Miller does.
But the Pels aren't going to go get those players.
Well, they could, is my point, they're but not. They're not they because the Darius spots. Miller – because they have the ability to pay Darius Miller more money, which they can use in a subsequent trade. And so, I don't know.
But going back to your point about the Tom Benson thing, if time and time again they've overspent for something they shouldn't have. And even when they initially traded for Omer Asik, they had to pay him $15 million a year, even though his cap hit was only $8 million. So they're paying him double And then they committed to a 5-year deal with him.
Okay.
So I don't think it's fair to say that Tom Benson would have not spent on this. I definitely think that is a thing that would have happened, especially if they were this far beneath the tax line. I don't think that would have been the slightest concern. But I definitely think, despite all of Miller's warts, he's better than everyone else down that roster at this point in time.
Okay. Yeah, I do like that at that point. That was a good one with about Omer and his cap hit, because of the way his contract with the Rockets was structured. So the Pelicans owed him twice what his cap hit was. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think it shows. I think it's just another example of the commitment to winning for this team. Because I mean, they probably, would you disagree that they probably could have had Darius Miller? Like, if they gave him a contract offer for, let's say, $3 million or $4 million, do you think Darius Miller says no?
I don't think he says no. I think they essentially, I'm a steal this from Powell, but I think they essentially gave him 2 years of value in 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, and so I think that's fair, but point just being that, you know, if you go and say we can get this guy for $4 million, but we're going to pay him $7 million for really no other reason than you have the money to blow and you want to be able to, it makes more sense if you want to trade him down the line. I just think that could be a tough sell, but it wasn't, or it doesn't seem like it was. And that's, you know, just makes me feel good about, you know, where this franchise is right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, Jeff Green got the minimum, and Jeff Green is Jeff Green, but he's probably better than Darius Miller.
Yeah. I mean, did you see what Dwayne Wade said about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for real, Jeff Green's got to fire his agent. If you keep getting minimum, like, yeah. I mean, come on. I've seen – who are some scrubs that got paid this year? Terrible. There's a lot of people getting that room exception that shouldn't be getting that room exception, but whatever. Well, Jeff Green's happy. Good for him. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that was a pretty heated discussion on Darius Miller, of all people.
We need one of those every now and then, so I'm good with it.
Just a fight over a total scrub.
See, exactly. You just called him a scrub.
Well, of course. I'm not saying he's good. I'm saying he's better than the end of the roster, which, like, I think people are assuming the Pelicans are a lot deeper than they are. I have them as, like, maybe 7 players deep. Maybe. I'm not giving any credit to Josh Hart right now. I'm not giving any credit to any of the Ken Riches of the world or the Frank Jacksons of the world. I don't think these guys have shown that they are rotation players yet. Can they be? Possible. Sure. But they still have to beat out Darius Miller, who has shown he can be a rotation player on a playoff team.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and I may be guilty of this as well. I'm using your favorite player, Etuan Moore, as my barometer and saying, oh, well, he was a starter / for early guy off the bench. And now he's maybe the ninth in terms of minutes on this team. And so that feels like there's more depth. Maybe it's not an incredible amount of depth. And if your depth is just a bunch of average players, it's still bad. But
Moore is hurt because he has zero versatility.
Mm-hmm.
And the areas where he excels at, the Pelicans are just crowded in. I mean, JJ Redick makes Moore totally redundant.
You could build some lineups with Moore and Redick on the wings just spotting up.
If you hate yourself.
That was a force.
You have Brandon Ingram on the roster, Lonzo Ball on the roster, Drew Holiday on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, in the thing I wrote with the rotations, Moore and Redick overlap for exactly 0 minutes. So I don't believe in that being a thing either.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that Moore is gone. I think he's like within the month. I think whenever this Kawhi situation resolves itself and the two LA teams figure out what the hell they're going to do with their cap.
So the Darius Miller move doesn't make you think that Moore is more likely to stay because his salary would help to go get your boy Bradley Beal?
No, I think it's really easy to reach Bradley Beal's salary without Moore. You add Miller and Brandon Ingram and you're already at $14 million. You only need 7 more. You add Nikolai and Alexander Walker, which is like 3.5 or whatever it is, and add some of those, you know, Christian Woods of the world, you're there.
Doesn't feel that as easy as you're making it sound. I mean, you've got Moore, Miller, and one of Ingram and Lonzo, and you're there. And now if you pull away Moore's $8.5 million, now you got to piece together.
Are you assuming that they're going to trade Moore for nothing? They're going to probably trade for a player, which is what I'm advocating for. That player is probably going to make money more so than Moore, because that would be the real value of the trade, is you're flipping him for someone who provides either position or need or and has comparable, like, you know, impact on the game and makes a little bit more money that someone else is not willing to pay. So I think it's pretty easy to reach Bradley Beal's salary total.
Do you have a thought on who that player might be?
I have wants. I have a list of players that I would want them to pursue. I can name them.
Let's pretend. Let's take Iggy off the table for a second. And
why?
Okay, fine. You talk about Iggy, but I'm curious what the other names are.
Okay, well, obviously Iguodala is the top target. I think he would be functionally your backup point guard. I think he would be the connector in everything. And he's simply the best target out there, I think. I'm not going to spend too much time on him because you asked so nicely. Other targets I would want for each one more. I would be happy to take in Andre Roberson. Roberson? How do you pronounce it?
Roberson. Roberson. Dawson corrected me on the last podcast I had him on.
Roberson. I'd be happy to take in Roberson. Again, you can never have too many defensive wings. Along those lines, I'd be happy to take in Jeremy Grant. I don't know if OKC is interested in any of these trades, but Jeremy Grant could play the 4 or the 5 for the Pelicans. Really versatile player. I'd be happy to take in MKG. Again, just another one. I know these guys are non-shooters, but, you know, whatever. I really like what they bring to the team and the
Grant's
locker.
Getting better.
Well, yeah. I'd be happy to take in Patty Mills.
Yep.
To give you another shooter and ball handler off the bench. I'd be happy to add a couple of those, you know, Davis Bertans of the world to his salary to take in Goran Dragic. Fletcher would love that. I think that's my list for now.
Okay. That's a good one.
Basically, you can take in Etuan Moore plus $5 million worth of salary. Mm-hmm. So like 13.6, 13.7 million you can take in without adding in any additional players. You want to hit those $17 million ranges, you have to add a couple more players. Mm-hmm. That gives you a good chunk of NBA players that you could play around with. And yep. I definitely think the Pelicans should be jumping on that. What would you categorize as needs skill set wise left on this roster?
So I think, let's see, it's shooting's cliche, but there's only one player, especially if you're trading more, there's only one player I trust to knock down threes.
Is that player, yeah, Darius Miller?
I'm still getting used to having Darius Miller on this team. So, I think they need a backup point guard still. So I wouldn't say it's a desperate need, but I still think it's a need. And I think the Patty Mills option hits on a lot of the things the Pelicans might need. I just don't trust Frank Jackson yet. I don't trust anyone else unless we're going full on point Brandon Ingram with the second unit and moving Drew over to the one a little bit more, which I think is more palatable now that it's been in previous years, given the different ball handlers this team has.
That's one of my pet peeves, is when people say Drew can't play the one.
I tune them out.
But continue.
No, who's saying that he can't play the one?
Like, everyone says he doesn't want to play the one. He can't play the one.
He doesn't want to play the one isn't the same thing above. As he can't.
I don't even believe that he doesn't want to play the one. I think he doesn't want to be the only guy on the floor that can dribble the ball.
I like that. That's fair. But yeah, I mean, other than that, you mentioned it yourself that Brandon Ingram's really the only wing on this roster. And I like the guys like MKG that you mentioned, because there's versatility there defensively and there's athleticism. And if I can't get shooting, I just want to get more players who can fit the style of play that this team wants to get to play. And so that's why I like a lot of the guys that you you mentioned, and I think as far as where you look, I mean, look at teams where maybe they're going to have they're butting up against the luxury tax, and they would welcome trading a guy for more who maybe with more making less salary than whoever they're trading out. I don't know what Charlotte's picture looks like bringing in Terry Rozier's $20 million a year, but I would imagine they're not in the best shape in regards to the luxury tax. So I think that's a very strong possibility, Charlotte. But yeah, I mean, there are going to be options out there.
I agree with you on the backup point guard. I would just refine it to like backup ball handler per se. I don't think you need a nominal point guard in that position. Yep. But I think we shared the same sentiment there. My other area of need would be a big who can play either the four or the five. Not necessarily the four or the five, who could play with both Favors and Zion. I don't think we have a trustworthy third big. I think right now that it's like big by committee, which I'm not comfortable.
I think we're hoping Melly can be that guy, and also Ingram's going to play spot minutes at the four, and also you've got Okafor, but he's only a five. He's not a four. There's a whole
Okafor, Wood.
Christian Wood, yeah. That's
Kenrick Williams and you know, Miller trying to play the five as well. I mean, the four as well. And maybe some spot minutes with Zion at the five, which I don't want in his rookie year all that much.
Yep.
But yeah, we don't have a reliable third big, so I would be searching for a third big who can play with either Zion in Favors and be comfortable starting if we need to. Should there be injury to any of the players?
Yeah, with you.
Cool. Well, I think we have hit a lot of things on this free agency. We could probably wrap it up until the next crazy thing happens.
Sounds good.
I'll have updates from Summer League this time next week, maybe.
Yeah, there we go. That'll be fun. And when do you get? Yeah, you're heading out there when?
I'm heading out there this weekend, so Saturday.
Nice.
I will be there when the trade can be made official. Word on the street is they might introduce all the players at that time, the Lakers players and the draft picks. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, if they do, hopefully I'll be able to provide some coverage on that. Oh, which, by the way, last totally unrelated point before we sign off. Gravis Vasquez, he's back. He's back as a summer league coach and per me. And he's going to be on the G League coaching staff.
Yeah, that's fun. I remember when I tweeted about it today that Jake and I were grabbing lunch at Chipotle in Elmwood, and we ran into Gravis Vasquez, and he was mad because Bourbon Street Shots was mean to him.
Oh man, we're gonna have to fix the coverage here.
He was smiling when he said it, though. He wasn't Alexia Jensa hates my guts. He was just kind of playful with it. So he's a really fun personality. So it's great to have him.
Bro, you got a penchant for being blocked by players.
Come on, it's just him and Randall.
I don't know, man. Who's it going to be this year? I got my money on Ingram.
Man, I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Till next time, folks.
Introducing Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Beer, blending the smooth, creamy nitro taste of Guinness with hints of coffee, chocolate, and caramel. Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Beer, your new favorite part of the day. Look for it where Guinness is sold. Must be 21 and over to purchase. Please enjoy responsibly. Diageo Beer Company, New York, New York.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.